Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and today we speak with Marty Baird, a specialist in human resources for Robinson & Associates. Baird has advised casinos on training and human resources for more than 10 years. His advocacy index recognizes that customer loyalty and word-of-mouth marketing can often be the most powerful form of marketing around, and he suggests that employees become advocates for their own properties. Baird explains how to do this when he spoke with me at Indian Gaming 08 in San Diego in April. Marty Baird, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's an interesting time here at the NIGA trade show in San Diego, and it's great that we can get together for this.
It is a very interesting time, and thanks for having us, Roger.
Not a problem. Let's talk about your company, Robinson & Associates, and fill listeners in on what the company is and what you do.
Well, Robinson & Associates helps casinos improve their guest experience, because that's really what it comes down to. At the show, it's fun. You see all the new machines. You see all the new architecture. But what really matters to the guest is that ultimate experience. And did they have a great time when they got change or when they got a beverage? And if they did, they're willing to risk their reputation, be an advocate, and tell their friends to come out.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do a column in our Casino Connection magazine, and I've read your theory about guest advocates many times, and I agree with them, but explain what that is.
Well, fortunately, it's not a theory. Harvard research kind of backs it up, so we're going to take it out of theory. But what they found is that satisfaction is fickle. A perfect example is that is a casino employee who, you know, if they get a good tip that night, they provide good service. Mm-hmm. Well, that satisfaction changes the next night because they didn't get a good tip. But what the Harvard research found is that a person who's willing to risk their reputation, they're truly an advocate. And if you measure advocacy and you improve advocacy, then you have a way of improving not only your bottom line, but also your guest experience.
Mm-hmm. And this applies really both to employees and to guests as well, correct?
Absolutely. And what I'm speaking about tomorrow is the idea of employee turnover. Mm-hmm. Cornell research shows that it's as much as $5,000 to replace the average mm-hmm. hospitality employee, and I know all your listeners are above average. Mm-hmm. So when those people leave, you've got a big amount of money walking out the door every time, and if they're not advocates and they don't stay, we're wasting money.
Mm-hmm. And what is your theory on how to retain those? Maybe not a theory.
Well,
how do you retain valuable employees?
Employee retention really comes down to about three things. Number one is you have to measure, are they willing to risk their reputation? Are they truly an advocate? And then you need to do the things that they tell you to make them an advocate. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I'll hear from executives that, oh, it's money. They want more money. They need more money. The reality is it's not money 9 times out of 10. Money usually is maybe number 10 out of a top 10 list. It's mm-hmm. usually things like they want to be listened to, they want to be appreciated, they want to be recognized, they want improved communications. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are critical to getting an employee to, as we call, stick. Mm-hmm. The other side of it is we use a company out of Oklahoma called Hogan Assessments, and we're committed to them because when you do an assessment pre-hiring, you know the person's characteristics and are they a good fit? The gaming business is a meat grinder. Mm-hmm. 24/7, 365, losing money, drinking, all of those things come together. And if the person doesn't have the aptitude, they're going to wash out very quickly. And that just means that churn in the HR department, more cost, more problems, more headaches.
Mm-hmm. No question. There's some legendary employers in the gaming industry that really make their employees feel like they're part of the company. And I work for one, Steve Wynn, but there's been many others, Jack Binion, certainly some
sure.
of the smaller companies. What's the normal thing that these all have? All these people that I just mentioned. What do they have that keep the employees happy?
Well, I think the number one thing is they never forget where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
If you know people who know Steve Wynn, they talk about that he'll talk to a frontline employee and say hello just like he would a stockholder.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a casino in Arizona we did a lot of work with. The general manager would stop and put his hand down in the EDR and talk to the employees, and he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when I think they went over 1,000 employees, he was so frustrated he could no longer remember every employee's name by face. Well, that makes a special impression, and it takes the top having that view and that passion
mm-hmm.
that says my guest is the employee and I'm going to treat them as if they were at my home.
Right. So it's a personal touch then, the fact that the employees feel a connection to the guy at the top?
Absolutely. And you mentioned major companies in the gaming industry, but one of them that comes out on top all the time is Google.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Google comes out on top is because they allow employees to be what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I know gaming is regulated beyond belief.
Right.
But the reality is, if I'm going to get an employee who's going to spend 10, 12 hours a day at my casino working, what am I going to do to make them feel special? How do I help them have a better life, not just a job?
Mm-hmm. I remember when Steve Wynn opened the Mirage, one of the things that he wanted to do was enable the employees to make decisions that affected the customer. Is that something that you would recommend?
Well, I think the answer and short answer is yes. Mm-hmm. The challenge with that is, unfortunately, some people think that means an open checkbook.
Right.
And so they get the feeling of, well, if I enable my employees, they're just going to give the store away.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's not true. What mm-hmm. they are going to do is they're going to say, hey, this guest had a bad experience for whatever reason. I want to make it better. Now I'm creating not only an employee advocate, but a guest advocate
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. No question. Let's talk about the customers. The customers are obviously the lifeblood of this industry, and you mentioned, we have such spectacular architecture in this industry. Now you have retail, food and beverage, all these things that are really the wow factor, but the bottom line is the treatment they get when they get there, correct?
It absolutely is, and you call them customers, we call them guests, because we want to think of them as being a guest in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Last week I was in Las Vegas at a large casino, and I had, 50 interactions.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I remember is the guy who shined my shoes.
Yeah.
He introduced himself. He was from Africa,
mm-hmm.
told me about his country. We had a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had somebody who was going to be in Vegas, I'd say, go to this casino and have a shoe shine. You want John to do it.
Right.
Would I tell him to go to the restaurant? Would I tell him to go to the bar? Would I tell him to go to the blackjack table or play on the machines? No, because everything else they had is like every other property on the strip.
Mm-hmm. So, and you've done some articles for us where how important is it for the very first connection when they get to a casino, which is usually the guy who parks your car?
Sure. Well, it's critical. And in this situation last week, I actually parked my car myself.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
I'm almost ashamed to say. But when I walked in from the back of the house, the parking lot was kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm.
The hallway was kind of dirty. So now all of a sudden I'm getting this feeling that when I'm going to check into my room, it's going to be dirty.
Yeah.
And so that first impression could happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the valet. It could be the bellman. My office happened to call on the phone several times. It took 3 times for them to reach my room. Well, this is telling me things that they're not very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to provide a clean experience. They're not going to provide a consistent experience. So that then mushrooms through every part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Las Vegas and many markets elsewhere, as there's so much competition, I can play blackjack anywhere. I can
right.
go to the same machines anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is, how do I differentiate myself? And it better be with that guest experience.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that all casinos do is they have training programs for employees. And, they stress the smile, they stress the personal attention, but it gets to be so much noise to the employees. They
right.
don't really, it doesn't click anymore. It's just not something that addresses their lives personally. How do you recommend that a casino actually train people where the training actually is effective?
Well, I think there has to be two sides of it. Number one is you have to recognize the problem, which you've laid out very accurately.
I've been through many of them myself.
Well, and the problem with that is there's no buy-in from the employee because there's no reason to. One of the things we like with the Advocate Development System is we're able to give them a number, share the number with the employees, and say, this is our goal, this is our target.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said many times, could you imagine playing golf and not keeping score? Well, now that's almost what happens with many of the training programs, is you're told to smile, you're told to make eye contact, you're told to greet people, but there's no scorecard. There's
mm-hmm.
no way of knowing I did better, I didn't do well, so there needs to be that scorecard. The other part about it, and this is one of the things that we're very proud of, is we call it edutainment.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be educational and entertaining,
mm-hmm.
because people are used to being entertained. I mean, I'm an old man, but there's that thing called MTV, and we're now
right.
used to stuff being quick and fast, and the internet's got to get us quickly, and we've got to get our notes as fast as we can. So if the training isn't in that same format, they're tuned out.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be a highly interactive, stimulating experience, because that's what they want, that's what they expect.
Mm-hmm. And they don't really follow through on it unless they are entertained in that format thing.
Absolutely. And one of the challenges that happens past the training is that it's kind of a one and done.
Right.
And exactly. So what happens is I invite 30 people, 40 people, 100 people into the room. Mm-hmm. We do some sort of a session, and then out we go.
Mm-hmm.
And statistics show that it takes between 21 and 28 days to build a habit.
Right.
Well, the reality is I went to one day of training.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 3 years, 5 years, 20 years of habit. I didn't change it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I need to do is I need to get people in, show them what we want them to do, and then remind them, mm-hmm. so the new habit sticks.
Right. So train the one day of training has to be followed up with the follow-up, with the enforcement that we need to do these things.
Well, and enforcement has kind of a negative connotation,
right.
But we do. We need to have something that reminds them, hey, you did a good job, do it again. You
mm-hmm.
did a good job, do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 3-year-old and 4-year-old, and you don't learn how to ride a bike without mm-hmm. training wheels the first time. You don't just let them down the driveway and say, okay, you know how to do it.
Right.
It's over and over and over, and they may fall off, but you still say, hey, great job. Here's how we do it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing with all employees.
Looking for the most informative weekly publication in the gaming industry? Subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the only electronic news magazine that brings the news of the gaming industry to your desktop every Monday morning. Global Gaming Business Weekly is a complete publication with information on the gaming industry in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and beyond. Read about the latest moves in Indian gaming, the updated research about problem gaming, the breaking news that will impact everyone in the gaming industry, all in one publication. Global Gaming Business Weekly is read by all the top executives in the gaming industry before they start their work week. Shouldn't you? To subscribe, go to the Global Gaming Business website, www.ggbmagazine.com, click on the Global Gaming Business Weekly icon. Don't be the last to know. Read Global Gaming Business Weekly every Monday morning. We're in some tough economic times here. We've got a lot of business being pulled back, and of course the first place that a lot of the places look to cut are the employees. How do you maintain the morale of the employees that remain with your property at the same time of having to make necessary cutbacks in the employee base?
Well, it's a tough decision to make, and there are many, many articles and much research about the idea that if I do make cuts, it has to be kind of transparent.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing we can do is to bring people in and, I'll say, oh, there's going to be a meeting in XYZ room, and nobody comes out.
Right.
That is the worst thing we can do. It creates negative feelings throughout the property. It demoralizes the staff that stays. So we need to be transparent. We need to be upfront. We need to say, look, we're used to serving X number of 1,000 guests a day or a week or a month, and we're down to this.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a gentleman on the floor just a little bit ago, and he had a great comment. He goes, 3 and 4% down right now is the new increase.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it's one of those things that if I tell my employees, look, we're off 4%.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do everything we can to hold every employee. We want you to stay. But the reality is if we go down 6% or 8% or 10%, we're going to need to make strategic business changes, and sometimes that will affect the number of employees. Well,
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden I know why. It wasn't just right. a matter of, hey, some guys went to a conference and said, oh, let's cut people.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it gets personal. I myself had a call last week from someone who got laid off after 8 years with the company, and she's complaining that they should have been more loyal to me because I was loyal to them. Is there? Do you recommend employees try to make themselves more valuable so that they don't, become another statistic when it comes to layoffs?
Absolutely. I mean, in a situation where we're service focused, if
mm-hmm.
you provide an amazing guest experience every time, it makes it harder and harder for them to say, let's get rid of this person.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of today, though, is in a soft economy, they're going to make some broad-based cuts, and
right.
no matter how great a service you provide, you could be one of them. Now, the flip side of that is if you provide a great experience, you're going to be highly valued at the next place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a situation where, take Las Vegas, I mean, there were some layoffs last week. Some of those employees may end up over in California at very successful casinos mm-hmm. that would love to have a highly motivated, talented, energetic, great guest experience provider at their casino.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always opportunities if you do things right.
Okay.
Let's talk about technology for a minute. Just a few years ago, and it's probably not that way anymore, but the buzzword was CRM, customer relationship marketing. Now they're talking about these incredible databases that they're building and how to use them. And how can you ensure that you continue to give good customer service while taking full advantage of the technology out there as well?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people have this misguided concept that technology is somehow going to make service better. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It makes contact easier, but it doesn't improve service. Again, a perfect example last week in Las Vegas, they didn't ask me about my experience, but they sent me an email 3 days later to tell them about it. Mm-hmm. Well, anything that I tell them now is old.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what you wrap the fish up in, because it's right. Old news. They needed to get that information immediately. Mm-hmm. They needed to have a conduit that got them the information quickly. Now, the kicker of that is they can extract all the data they want, and they can keep records and all of those things, but what am I doing with it, and can I process it fast mm-hmm. enough? Can I get the word out to the person who didn't set up my hotel room the second night that says, hold it, you missed one.
Right.
How did we miss it? How do we do it better? What do we make sure of? Mm-hmm. Or is it just a matter of, yeah, we miss them once in a while, no big deal.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think that the industry as a whole has gotten a little overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many years of success, so many years of meteoric growth, that the answer is, so we miss a hotel room once in a while, mm-hmm. no big deal.
Yep.
Well, in today's economy, gas is pushing $4 a gallon. That no big deal now turns into, well, you know what, maybe I won't take that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I will go somewhere else. And so all the technology in the world will allow them to extract the data, but we need to be able to get it to the people and get them to apply it. Otherwise, it's wasted time.
Right. And then you also have the danger, in this economy, if you're trying to cut back, of you having those dirty hallways and having places that aren't kept up to the standard that the guest is used to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you think about it. If a guest experience is going to be shortened, meaning normally they came and played for 2 days, but now they say I'm only going to play for one, well, if I spend 40 minutes waiting in line to check in at the hotel, I took a significant bite out of that gaming experience.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is the hotel may say, well, we need to cut back on the front desk to cut payroll.
Mm-hmm.
But that cutting of payroll has a huge impact on where you really make your money.
Right. So a casino, when they decide it's time to make cutbacks, it's really important decision which way they're going to go with that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes people say, we can still provide good service. People won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, that's a flat-out lie.
Yeah,
the guest notices everything.
Mm-hmm. No question. When you go out and do training in casinos, do you look at the market that they're in beforehand? For instance, are they a standalone casino out in an Indian casino out in the middle of a state where there's little competition, or one on a Las Vegas Strip?
Sure. You have to know the market, and you have to know the market they serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because take the Sacramento area. There's 3 casinos in very near proximity, a
mm-hmm.
couple more outside of there. Well, one may say, no, we're only going for those people coming from the Bay Area. Another
right.
person may say, no, we're going after Northern Sacramento. Another may say, no, we're going after rural Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to have different offerings and therefore provide the guest a different experience. They still need to provide a good experience,
right.
and I know that they would each like to take a little share from each other, but it does matter what the market is. And,
mm-hmm.
and it matters because, again, not beating Las Vegas, but guests come to Las Vegas with a certain mentality because of the way Las Vegas is marketed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I went to the middle of Indiana, where I happened to grow up,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't expect a Las Vegas experience. I'd expect an Indiana experience.
Right, right. And I'm assuming you also take into account the customer who arrives. For example, in Atlantic City, it's a day trip market.
Right.
People come down there and they stay for 8 hours on average. In Vegas, it's 2.5 days or
right.
whatever it is these
right.
days. So you take that into account in terms of how you train the employees to treat the guests?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, if you take an Atlantic City market where it's 8 hours,
mm-hmm.
the idea of an employee, if I can keep them there an extra hour,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge increase.
Right.
In Las Vegas, the answer is they're going to be there 2.5 days. How do I get them to stay at my property
mm-hmm.
for an hour longer? They're not going to make their trip any longer because the flight in and flight out is already booked.
Right.
But how do I get them to stay at my property? If I'm a rural casino, how do I get them to come out at 5 p.m. versus 7 p.m.? So that they come and play a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
What are we offering? What do we have for amenities?
And do you take into account also the attitude of the customers? For example, in Atlantic City, when I was a dealer, you know, people would come down there and they'd want to win. They didn't want to really entertain themselves. They wanted to win, and when they didn't win, they were very disappointed no matter what your level of customer service were. Whereas in Las Vegas, you're there for fun, you're there for vacation. Winning is important, but secondary
right.
to a large extent.
Well, the guest is there to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's Atlantic City or a market that has more of what we'll call grinders, where the people just come and they play for 4 or 5 hours mm-hmm. and they want to win, we still want to give them a great experience.
Right.
I can still have a beverage server that says, here's your Pepsi, hope you enjoy your stay, you know, and I can give them that experience even though they are there to win, mm-hmm. they are there to play, they are there to make money,
right.
Versus a situation where the people want to sit down to a two-hour meal
mm-hmm.
and be relaxed and enjoy and have the whole experience, and they want the wine open, they want it to breathe, they want to relax.
Mm-hmm.
It is a different training, and it is a different guest expectation, but you need to mirror the experience to the expectation.
Okay. Well, Marty, you've got a fascinating business, and certainly it is the most important part of the casino experience, and we thank you for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks, Roger.
Okay.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.